and those that are in other places. Again, keeping the feast. There are many that have joined us by this phone conference. And it's easy to do it by video as well. We have some on the video as well. This message is entitled, The Kingdom for Eternity. The kingdom of Yahweh is coming to this earth. In Matthew chapter 16, is our opening scripture. We'll start in verse 13. Matthew chapter 16, verse 13. Now, when Yahshua came into the park of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, Who do men say that the Son of Man is? And they say, Some say John the Baptist, some Elijah, and others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. He says to them, But who say you that I am? And Simon Peter answered and said, You are Mashiach, the Messiah, the Anointed, the Son of the living Elohim. And Yahshua answered and said to him, Blessed are you, Simon, Bar-Yonah, the son of Jonah. For flesh and blood has not revealed it to you, but my Father, who is in heaven. And I also say to you that you are Peter, Petra, and upon this rock I will build my assembly. So you see, there's an organization here that Yahshua is speaking to and speaking about. And the gates of the grave shall not prevail against it. In other words, this world won't overcome my assembly. I will give to you the key of the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of Yahweh. And whatever you shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. And whatever you shall loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. And this is why it's so important for the leaders of Yahweh's organization, Yahweh's truth, to make sure everything is right. Because he says, whatever you loose is going to be loosed in heaven. Whatever you bind is going to be bound on earth. Now, then he charged his disciples that they should tell no man that he was the Messiah. People have to come to this on their own, just like Peter did. It was revealed to him by Yahweh that Yahshua was the Messiah. Now, they had the Torah. They had the book. They knew the prophecy, and they could read it. They did not allow the Sanhedrin, the Sadducees, the Pharisees, the Herodians, the Zealots, and the other groups to influence them to not believe that this was Yahshua the Messiah. See, because Yahshua said, the kingdom of Yahweh is among you, because he was there. You understand? And they couldn't comprehend it. The leaders of Israel couldn't see it. They didn't understand what he was talking about. See, because they were looking for Yahshua, the coming king, to come and set up the kingdom so that they would not be subject to Rome or anybody else. But they misinterpreted the word. They misinterpreted the scriptures. Matthew chapter 19. Matthew chapter 19 and verse 16. And behold, one came to him and said, Good teacher, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life? He was looking for the kingdom of Yahweh. He wanted to be a part of it. And Yahshua And he said to him, he answered, why do you ask me concerning that which is good? What there is who is good, but if you would enter into life, see, when he's talking about into life, remember we talked about baptism into life yesterday in the baptism sermon, but if you will enter into life, he's talking about the kingdom. He's talking about eternity. See? He says, keep the commandments. No hocus pocus. No mystery. He says, keep the commandments. He made it very plain. Okay? Now, the young man said to him, he says to him, which? Which command? So Yahshua then went on further to explain which commandment. He said, you shall not kill. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness. Honor your father and your mother. All of those are part of the Ten Commandments. Am I correct? Okay. So he didn't come up with anything new. The same thing that had been taught back was by Moses that he gave the Ten Commandments. But he says here at the end of 19, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Verse 20, the young man says to him, all these things have I observed. I've done all of this. This is how I live my life. I was raised this way. What do I lack? Yahshua said to him, if you would be perfect, go sell that which you have and give to the poor, and you shall have treasure in heaven. And come follow me. So he gave him a prescription of how to get to the kingdom. And truly, it's hard for us today. A lot of people are caught up into the things that they have. See? They're caught up with their houses. They're caught up with their cars and their lives and jobs. Because what did Yahshua tell the young man? He said, go sell what you got. Then come follow me. In other words, get rid of your ties to the world because that's what's holding you back. See? Sell what you have and come follow me. There were others that wanted to follow him, and he told them no. He to your people in the world, what I've done for you. In other words, give your testimony. Now, he wanted this young man to literally follow him. But the young man, in verse 22, but when the young man had heard this, and he went away sorrowful, he went in another direction because he had a heavy heart. For he was one that had great possessions. See, and those great possessions held him captive. And that's why Yahshua told him to get rid of them. See, because once he would have gotten rid of them, he would have had to live a different style of life, like Paul. Paul was one that had great possessions. A lot of people believe that this was Paul. Okay? I don't necessarily go in that direction. Because Paul was vehemently against the Savior and what he was teaching. Remember? Until he was turned around. This young man was caught up in those great possessions. See? Yahweh has to touch your heart when it comes to the kingdom of Yahweh. You, having chosen the kingdom of Yahweh, put the world behind you. You step out of the world. I'm not saying you can't work or still live because you do have to, you know, take care of yourself, but you have to trust that Yahweh will do it. If you give yourself to Yahweh, say you say, tomorrow, you know what? I'm no longer going to do anything but serve Yahweh. Yahweh will provide for you. especially if you're doing the work. And we have some young men who are like that. They just happen to be in foreign countries right now for the most part. Now, when you give up that livelihood, you still have to provide for your families and whatnot. But Yahweh will bless you if you put that heart there first. When you put him first in your life, if the kingdom of Yahweh is first in your life, guess what? Everything falls in place. You may not see it because you heard the sermon that. See, in all your ways, acknowledge him. And if you do that in everything that you do, everything else falls in place. And that's what's so hard about this world. Like you were saying, everything's upside down because their vision, the way they see things, is contrary to the Bible. And that's why we have children telling their, you know, having their parents arrested for child abuse when they're being corrected. Okay? You know, the world has gone crazy. It truly has. But Yahweh still wants us to do what we have to do and do what's right. We're not, my children did not talk back to me or my wife. I can guarantee you that didn't happen. They also didn't call the police and say, my daddy whipped me. Okay? They didn't do that. He might have thought about it. All right. Now, verse 23, we want to continue in this thought because what you have to understand here is this young man truly went away sorrowful because he had great possessions. In other words, they possess him. Your possessions shouldn't possess you. You possess them. You can get rid of them at any time. And see, when these people followed Yahshua in the apostolic assembly, they were selling their property and giving the money to the faith, and they had all things in common. And I believe not all of them sold their houses that they were living in. I think they were selling their excess property, okay? They were getting rid of, like, their motorcycles sitting in the garage, their Corvettes and their extra cars, not the cars that they drove every day, you know, their projects that they got 20 grand sitting in or whatever. Now, I mean, I was doing a job not long before the feast, and I went to the house, and the man's house, he had three cars, two Corvettes and a Camaro Z28. Vintage. These are old cars. I mean, the vets were not brand new. One of them was kind of new, but the other one was old. But what I'm saying is these were his toys. Just sitting outside, well, they were in his garage. The one that was sitting out was the one he drove, his SUV. But this is the kind of stuff Yahweh was talking about, Yahshua was talking about, get rid of. Because that money was just sitting there. You understand? He had over 100 grand sitting there at his house. See, so when you get rid of these things, that excess, that money goes to push the work forward. It goes to touch the lives of the people throughout the world who are seeking Yahweh who do not have the resource. But he says in verse 23 of Matthew 19, and Yahshua said to his disciples, truly I say to you, it is hard for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of heaven. And the reason it's hard for that rich man to enter in, because those possessions possess him. He doesn't possess them, they possess him. And he says, and again, I say to you, it is easier for a camel to go through a needle's eye than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of Yahweh. It doesn't mean it's impossible. A lot of people say this is talking about the camel's eye gate in Jerusalem, which is a real small gate. And they're saying it's easier for a camel to get through there than a rich man to get to the kingdom of Yahweh. We know Abraham was a rich man. Isaac was a rich man. Jacob was a rich man. Joseph of Arimathea was a rich man. See, there were a lot of rich men that turned and followed Yahweh. Verse 25, and when his disciples heard it, they were very astonished, saying, who then can be saved? And Yahshua, looking upon them, said to them, with men, this is impossible. With Yahweh, all things are possible. And see, we have to believe that. Yahweh says it in his word, that means it's so. All things are possible. Then answered Peter and said to him, lo, we have left all and followed you. We've given up our livelihood, our fishing business. Then, what then shall we have? And Yahshua said to them, truly I say to you, that you who have followed me in the regeneration, when the Son of Man shall sit on the throne of his glory, you also shall sit upon 12 thrones. 12 thrones. Judging the 12 tribes of Israel. He's talking about the apostles. And every one that have left houses, and this is why I say there are only 12 apostles, there are only 12 thrones, there's only 12 foundations that their names are on in Revelation 21. And everyone that have left houses, or brethren, or sisters, or father, or mother, or children, or lands for my name's sake shall receive a hundredfold and shall inherit eternal life. And that's what we're seeking, the kingdom for eternity. That's what this message is entitled, the kingdom for eternity. But many shall be last that are first, and the first that are last. Ecclesiastes chapter 3. Ecclesiastes chapter 3. Starting in verse 1. Says, for everything there is a season. There's a time, there's a season. And a time for every purpose under heaven. A time to be born. And a time to die. A time to plant. And a time to pluck up that which is planted. A time to kill. And a time to heal. My wife, my daughter liked that one, a time to kill. Gotta watch her. And a time to heal. Most young ladies like to be nurses. They want that time to heal. A time to break down and a time to build up. A time to weep. And a time to laugh, a time to mourn, and a time to dance. Now, I know a lot of people believe that drinking, dancing, and playing cards is a sin, but it says here, there's a time to dance. No, sin is transgression of the law, brethren. You know, it's not someone's interpretation or someone's thought of what they consider sinful nature or sin is. Sin is the transgression of the law. It's the breaking of the commandment. And we saw here, you know, and we gave that in Deuteronomy, where it says that you can come to the feast, you can drink wine and strong drink. So you can choose. See, the key is the Holy Spirit and having self-control. See, once you have the Holy Spirit, things are under your control. If you don't have control, then you don't have Yahweh. You don't have the Spirit. Now, it says, a time to cast away stones and a time to gather stones together. A time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing. A time to seek and a time to lose. Now, time to seek from embracing would be if someone's unclean, right? You don't want to embrace someone else if you're unclean and make them unclean, especially if they have to preach. You got to think, and we have to know the commandments. We have to know what Yahweh requires of us. And see, most of us And this is something that has to be taught. Because most people don't ordinarily know this. So it's something that they have to be taught. Now, a time to seek and a time to lose, a time to keep and a time to cast away, a time to lend and a time to sow. We know about that too. The Jews like to tear their clothes. Now they wanted to get to the point where they ripped their heart. They tore their heart because instead of tearing your clothes as an act that you are the cross. You know, you tear your heart. Make the change in your life. That's what's important. Change your life. Not tear up your clothes so you have to sew it. Okay? A time to keep silent and a time to speak. A time to love and a time to hate. And we hate that which is evil. And that's it. A time for war and a time for peace. What profit has he who works in that in which he labors? He hopes to get paid for his labor. I have seen the travail which Elohim has given to the sons of men to be exercised with it. He made everything beautiful in its time. This is Yahweh. He's made everything beautiful in its time. Also, he has set eternity in their hearts. See, each one of us has that hope of being in the kingdom of Yahweh forever, for eternity. Yet, so that man cannot find out the work that Elohim has done from the beginning, even to the end. I know that there is nothing better for them than to rejoice and do good so long as they live. Matthew chapter 25. See, there's a timing under heaven. Yahweh has set things up for each one of us to seek that. Because eternity is there. It's in your heart. It just has to be open. Because a lot of people guard their hearts closely. They don't want people to have access. They don't want to be hurt because they've been hurt before. You understand? So a lot of people are really hard to get to know because they're trying to protect themselves from injury. They don't want people to know them that intimately. They don't want people to be able to come to them and say, you know what? Brother or sister so-and-so, I'm struggling. I have a problem in this area. You know? Yahweh tells us to confess our sins one to another. And guess what? Sometimes someone has the answer that you need. It may not come right from here, from the pulpit. It may be one of your brothers or one of your sisters that you need to hear from. And when you hear from them, your heart is touched. You realize that this is exactly what you have need of. And this is another reason why we can't have any grudges one against another. Because if you do, you don't know Yahweh. See, Yahweh is love, okay? There is no door there where love is concerned. If there's a problem, we have to be able to come to each other and say, you know what? And it's my perception. It may not be your perception, but it's my perception that you got a problem with me. You understand? And then you can say, well, no, I don't have a problem with you. It's obviously something you're seeing or something, you know, that's kind of a little off. Okay? Like Rashad was talking about this thing with him in North Carolina and Duke. again, that's a true fan. He loves his team, and I understand that. But sometimes they struggle, you know. Sometimes Duke has the upper hand. Hey, a lot of people Yeah, we all believe what we believe, but a lot of people believe, you know, they're praying that their team wins. The other team praying that their team wins. I don't believe Yael is a fan of Duke or North Carolina. You understand? He loves them all. Now, as far as their contest goes, the best wins. Whoever the better team is wins. You know? And that's in whatever match, whether it's a soccer match or football, as they call it outside of the United States, or, as we call it, football here in the United States. You know, my team are the Indianapolis Colts. They used to be the Baltimore Colts. And I hated them for leaving. They snuck out of town at night. Now they have the Ravens, which used to be the Cleveland Browns, which Cleveland hates, but now they got a team in Cleveland, so they're happy. You understand? These owners do whatever they want, you know? But the people still support them. A lot of money in that. But back to where we are here is the kingdom of Yahweh. You have to go through that door. To get to that kingdom of Yahweh, you can't have a problem with your brother. It's got to be solved. If you don't solve it, you can't get through that door. In Matthew 25, verse 31, but when the Son of Man shall come in his glory, okay, and all the angels with him, then shall he sit on the throne of his glory, and before him shall be gathered all the nations. All the nations. This is everybody on the planet. Okay? And he shall separate one from another as the shepherd separates the sheep from the goat. And he shall set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on the left. Now the goats here are representative of those who are not listening, those who aren't doing what he wants them to do. In verse 34, then shall the king say to them on his right hand, come you blessed of my father. So the father is Yahweh, the king would then in turn be Yahshua, right? In this passage. Come you blessed of my father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. Okay? For I was hungry, and you gave me to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me to drink. I was a stranger, and you took me in. See, you entertained an angel unaware. You took me in. Naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came to me. I was so impressed with Steve Harvey when he was talking about this family that had their own business and whatnot. And Steve was a struggling comedian. And this white family took him in. They gave him a place to live. He lived with them, I think he said, for over a year. He said he probably put $11,000 on their credit card, going from here to there doing his thing. He said he had a little business, cleaning business. He was cleaning carpet. And, you know, they helped him get that going, and he got that going to support himself. But he said he put at least 11 grand on their credit card going from this city to that city doing his comic test. Okay? Now, they called in. I was watching the show. They called in during the show. He had lost touch. He didn't even know where they were. They were in Florida somewhere. And they called on his birthday on the show. And this man cried. He broke down in tears because he said, man, I've been looking for you and whatnot. And he said, man, I made it, man, I made it. I'm all right. I'm doing good. You know, and they weren't looking for repayment or anything, but he wanted to let them know how much he loved them for what they did for him. See? Now he's doing some wonderful things he's passing it on. He's doing some wonderful things for young people who are struggling. And see, this is what Yahweh wants us to do. He wants us to, the older women to train the younger. He wants us to train the younger men to show them that there is hope. See? Yahweh does love you. And a lot of people are struggling with some things that we've already been through. We already know the other side of it. And we know that if they struggle with it and fail, where they're going to end up. See? Our prison system is full of it and full of them. But see, here, this is what Yahshua is telling them. For I was hungry and you gave me to eat. I was thirsty and you gave me drink. I was a stranger and you took me in. Naked and you clothed me. I was sick and you visited me. I was in prison and you came to me. Then shall the righteous answer him, saying, Sovereign, when did we see you hungry and fed you, or thirst and gave you to drink? And when did we see you a stranger and took you in, or naked and clothed you? And when did we see you sick or in prison and came to you? And the king shall answer and say to them, Truly I say to you, since you did it to one of these, my brethren, you did it. Even these least, you did it to me. Then shall he say also to them on the left hand, Depart from me, you cursed, into eternal fire, which is prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and you did not give me to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me no drink. I was a stranger, and you took me not in. Naked, and you clothed me not. Sick, and in prison, and you visited me not. Then shall they also answer, saying, Sovereign, when did we see you hungry or thirsty, or a stranger, or naked, or sick, or in prison, and did not minister to you? Then shall he answer them, saying, Truly I say to you, since you did it not to one of these, you did it not to me. And these shall go away into eternal punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. See, there's a separation. There's only two directions you can go in, either the kingdom or Gehenna. And they're going to be destroyed forever. It's not some burning hell over and over and over. Hell is the English word for grave. We know that 6 foot under. See? Dante's Inferno, which comes up with this burning, is a metaphor. It is not real. Okay? The Greeks have Hades and their different beliefs, just like flowing down with death, the river Styx. You know, a lot of these concepts are from paganism. They're not true. Now, Almighty Yahweh has given us, through his word and through his scriptures, the answers that we need. John chapter 3, 16. We see this all the time. Every football game, you'll see a sign of John 3:16. For Yahweh so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes on him should not perish, but have eternal life. You understand? Now, there's a counterfeit out there, and I believe my wife was showing this. It was one of the ministers from the house of Yahweh, I believe, that was talking about God and showing that this was the devil. And how this whole thing was designed to have everyone worship these different idols, and they give their glory to him. Yahweh's different. See, Yahweh is the true and living El. And he is a jealous El. See, because he's the one that created all things. And he's the one that's going to decide all things. Either you believe Yahweh, or you believe the devil. But which way you're going to go, you're only getting to the kingdom and eternal life through Yahweh, through Yahshua the Messiah, Yahweh's Son. And this is what John 3:16 is about. 17:17 says, For Yahweh sent not the Son into the world to judge the world, but that the world should be saved through him. He that believes on him is not judged. He that believes not has been judged already, because he has not believed on the name of the only begotten Son of Yahweh. Now, that's why the name is so important of Yahshua the Messiah. See, Jesus Christos doesn't save. There's no salvation there. Salvation is in the name of Yahshua. Acts 4:10-12. There is one name under heaven by which men shall be saved. Now, this is the difference. So we have to teach this and preach this throughout the world so people can make the proper choice. You understand? Who can learn without a teacher? You have to have a teacher. Drop down to verse 31. John 3:31. It says, "He that comes from above is above all. He that is of the earth is of the earth, and of the earth he speaks." When you talk to somebody, you want to know what's in their heart? Just listen to them. They'll tell you every time. They speak about what's in their heart, what they believe, what they want, what's important to them. Because that's what they speak of. The earth speaks of the earth. He that comes from heaven is above all. What he has seen and heard, of that he bears witness, and no man receives his witness. He that has received his witness has set his seal to this. You know what a seal is, right? The seal is what states from the person who's sealing it. It's important. If the king uses his ring, his signet, and places it in the wax and put it on the paper and sends the messenger and he goes to another country and says, "This is from the king of so-and-so," and they see a seal and they break the seal and they, "Okay, I believe it." You understand? Because he's the one with that ring. When Yahweh sets his seal upon the 144,000, they are his. The first fruit, the Vicarine, they're following in the footsteps of Yahshua the Messiah who rose from the dead. Now, that first fruit, the 144,000, are going to live during and preach and be kings during the thousand-year millennium. Now, eternity doesn't happen until after that. See, because you still have blood, these children that are coming in from the world after the tribulation, we have a third of the population of the world left going in to that kingdom, that thousand-year millennium. But they are flesh and blood. They are children who have to be taught. This is why the 144,000 have to teach them this. They have to teach them the law of Yahweh. They have to teach them the Torah. See, Satan will not be allowed to influence them at all. They will have no negative influence. Just like Adam and Eve, they won't have, at that time, have eaten from the knowledge of the tree of good and evil, except the evil that they already know going in. But they have a challenge because they'll have the 144,000 teaching them the truth, showing them the goodness of Yahweh. See, if they doubt, it's something within them. And we'll see how it turns out because we're going to look at that as well. Now we see here in John 3, it says, 33, "He that has received his witness has set his seal to this, that Yahweh is true." And Yahweh is true, brother. The devil is a liar. But Yahweh is true. "For he whom Yahweh has sent speaks the words of Yahweh. For he gives not the Spirit by measure." We have the Holy Spirit. We're speaking the words of Yahweh because we've received that Holy Spirit. "For the Father loves the Son and has given all things into his hand. He that believes on the Son has eternal life." You have to believe. That's what you do. All you have to do is believe. "But he that obeys not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of Elohim remains on him." We don't want the wrath of Elohim upon us because the kingdom is for eternity. And that's what we're seeking. We want to be a part of that. John chapter 5, verse 19. John 5:19. Yahshua therefore answered and said to them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, the Son can do nothing of himself, but what he sees the Father doing." Don't our sons follow their fathers? They look, they try to emulate their fathers. As I said before, they'll try to put their shoes on, they'll put their hat on, you know, even their coat, jacket, try to walk in those big shoes and act like their father. But whatever thing he does, the Son also does in like manner. The Son is following the Father. For the Father loves the Son and shows him all things that he himself does. And greater works than these will he show him, that you may marvel at these greater works. For as the Father raises the dead and gives them life, even so the Son also gives life to whom he will. And this life that he's given is eternal life. It's the life of the kingdom. Verse 22, for neither does the Father judge any man, but he has given all judgment to the Son. So Yahshua is going to do the judging. And those who are with him, remember I said we're going to judge angels? We're also going to judge the world. That's what the scriptures teach us. That all may honor the Son, even if they honor the Father. He that honors not the Son honors not the Father who sent him. And that's why there's a hierarchy. You know, if you disrespect Yahshua, you're disrespecting Yahweh. You're not going to be blessed, as well as those whom he set up. Truly, truly, I say to you, he that hears my word and believes him that sent me has eternal life and comes not into judgment, but has passed out of death into life. He's going to inherit the kingdom. Truly, truly, I say to you, the hour comes and now is when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of Yahweh, and they that hear shall live. For the Father has life in himself, even so gave he to the Son also to have life in himself. And he gave him authority to execute judgment. Who gave the authority? Yahweh gave the authority. And guess what? Yahshua has given us authority as well. Because he is the Son of Man. Marvel not at this, for the hour comes in which all that are in the tomb shall hear his voice and shall come forth, they that have done good to the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil to the resurrection of judgment. And that's called the white throne judgment. This is after the thousand-year millennium. Let's turn over there, Revelation chapter 20. Revelation chapter 20. The kingdom for eternity is the title of this message. In Revelation 20, we'll start in verse 11. Now, actually, let's start in 7. It says, when the thousand years are finished, Satan shall be loosed out of his prison, that he's bound for 1,000 years, and shall come forth to deceive the nations which are in the four corners of the earth, Gog and Magog, to gather them together to war. The number of whom is as the sand of the sea. And they went up over the width of the earth and encircled the camp of the saints about and the beloved city, and fire came down from Yahweh out of heaven and devoured them. And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, in which also the beast and the false prophet, and they shall be, the word is the Sodom, and it means destroy, judgment. They're going to receive judgment. They're going to be destroyed. And it says day and night to the ages of ages. It's forever. They're destroyed forever. It's not that burning over and over that I spoke about earlier from Dante's Inferno. Verse 11, and I saw a great white throne, and him that sat upon it, from whose face the earth and heaven fled away. And there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, the great and the small, standing before the throne. And the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of the things which were written in the book, according to their work. So they're judged what? According to what? Their work. Yes, they had grace, but they still violated the covenant, even though they had grace. But they're judged according to their work. And the sea gave up the dead that were in it, and death, and the grave gave up the dead that were in it. And they were judged, every man according to their work. So don't let anybody fool you and say, if not, you're not going to be judged according to how you live your life. Because you are. And death and the grave were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death, even the lake of fire. And if any was not found in the book of life, he was cast into the lake of fire. So like Richard said in the sermonette, this world has been turned upside down. And people don't see things the way they truly should. Because, you know, their eyes and the way they see has been colored in an evil direction. Because the world has gone in an evil direction. The Yahweh's people are few and far between throughout the earth. They are an anomaly. They're different because they're peculiar treasure to Yahweh. They walk differently than the world. And that's why the world doesn't recognize them. Now, John chapter 7. I'm going to show you what I'm talking about. And the reason I'm bringing this out is because we're talking about eternity. Today is the last great day. And it represents eternity. Those who will be in eternity. Verse 1, after these things, Joshua walked in Galilee. But he would not walk in Judea because the Jews sought to kill him. Who sought to kill him? His own people. Now the feast of the Jews, the feast of tabernacles, where we are today, was at hand. His brethren therefore said to him, depart from here and go into Judea, that your disciples also may behold works which you do. For no man does anything in secret and himself seeks to be openly known. If you do these things, manifest yourself to the world. For even his brethren did not believe on him. That's what the scripture says. Even his brethren did not believe on him. The apostle is not without honor in his own country, among his own brethren, his family. They don't give him the glory. They don't believe that he has the power of Yahweh working in his life. They saw miracles. His first miracle, he turned water into wine at a wedding in Cana of Galilee. His mother came to him and said, look, they have a wine. And she pushed him a little bit because he didn't want to do it, but he did. He honored his mother. He made the water into wine. And then the man said, hey, you know what? You saved the best wine for last. Most people, people get drunk, they go on or whatever. But you saved the good stuff for last. Verse 6, Joshua therefore says to them, my time has not yet come, but your time is always ready. The world cannot hate you, but me it hates, because I testify it of it, that its works are evil. And we are in an upside down world, and their works are evil because they're glorifying the homosexual. They're saying that it's okay for them to do what they do, and it's not. It's an abomination to Yahweh. But if you speak out about it, then you are a bigot. You are, you know, wrong because you're standing up for that which is right. You understand? The world cannot hate you, but me it hates, because I testify that its works are evil. You go up to the feast. I am not yet going up to the feast, because my time is not yet fulfilled. And having said these things to them, he remained still in Galilee. But when his brethren were gone up to the feast, then went he up also, not publicly, but as it were in secret. He didn't go in with the big entourage like he did on Passover, which followed. See, when he came that time, they were there, throwing out the palms and saying, "Hosanna, Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of Yahweh." When he came for Passover, that's what it was. But Tabernacles, which preceded it, well, he came in secret. The Jews therefore sought him at the feast and said, "Where is he?" And there was much murmuring among the multitudes concerning him. Some said, "He is a good man." Others said, "Not so, but he leads the multitude astray." And you know who was that? Who was behind that? The leadership. See? The Sanhedrin. He leads the multitude astray. Verse 13, "Yet no man spoke openly of him for fear of the Jews." Now here, when they're speaking of Jews, they are speaking of the leadership. See, because they sought to kill him. Verse 14, "But when it was now middle of the feast, Joshua went up into the temple and taught. The Jews therefore marveled, saying, 'How does this man know letters, having never learned?'" You know, he didn't graduate from the university in Jerusalem. He didn't graduate from any of our other schools. How did he get this knowledge? Joshua therefore said to them in verse 16 and said, "My teaching is not mine, but his is sent me. If any man wills to do his will, he shall know the teaching, whether it is of Elohim or whether I speak of myself. He that speaks from himself seeks his own glory. But he that seeks the glory of him that sent him, the same is true, and no unrighteousness is in him." See, so when you see the speaking of the word coming from the Bible, you know it's the Yahweh's glory. When people speak of their own, they're speaking for their own glory. Verse 19, "Did not Moses give you the law, and yet not one of you does the law? Why do you seek to kill me?" The multitude answered, "You have a demon. Who seeks to kill you?" Joshua answered and said to them, "I did one work, and you all marvel because of it. Moses has given you circumcision, not that it is of Moses," see, but it's of the Torah, "but of the Father. And on the Sabbath you circumcise a man. If a man receives circumcision on the Sabbath, that the law of Moses may not be broken, are you angry with me because I made a man every whit whole on the Sabbath?" And they were. They wanted him killed because he healed on the Sabbath. "Judge not according to appearance, but judge righteous judgment. Some of them, therefore, of Jerusalem said, 'Is not this whom they seek to kill?'" They knew that they wanted to kill Joshua. It wasn't a secret. "And lo, he speaks openly, and they say nothing to him. Can it be that the rumors of these know that this is the Messiah?" And the answer is yes. They knew that this was Joshua, the Messiah. "However, we know this man from where he is, but when the Messiah comes, no one knows from where he is." And that's not true. it tells us in Micah that he was going to be from Bethlehem of Ephrathah. You understand? The word always tells you and gives you the correct answer. Yahweh doesn't give you anything without the supporting document. Drop down to verse 37. Now in the last day, the great day of the feast, Yahshua stood and cried, saying, if any man thirst, let him come to me and drink. He that believes on me, as the scripture has said, from within him shall flow rivers of living water. But this spoke he of the Spirit, which they that believed on him were to receive. For the Spirit was not yet given, because Yahshua has not yet glorified. Some of the multitude, therefore, when they heard these words, said, this is of a truth the prophet. Others said, this is the Messiah. But some said, what, does the Messiah come out of Galilee? Has not the scripture said that the Messiah comes of the seed of David and from Bethlehem, the village where David was? So there arose a division in the multitude because of him, because they didn't do all their homework. They didn't check the scriptures as thoroughly as they should. And some of them would have taken him, but no man laid hands on him. The officers therefore came to the chief priests and the Pharisees, and they said to them, why did you not bring him? The officers answered, a man never spoke in this manner. The Pharisees therefore answered, are you also led astray? Have any of the rulers believed on him or of the Pharisees? For this multitude that knows not the law are cursed. Nicodemus said to them, he that came to him before, being one of them, does our law judge a man except it first hear from himself and knows what he does? They answered and said to him, are you also of Galilee? Search and see that out of Galilee there arises no prophet. But we know better. There was a prophet. Jonah was a prophet from Galilee. Brethren, the kingdom is for eternity. It's not for a set amount of time. The thousand-year millennium is a set time. But that's just part. And then, like I said, they have to be taught, those children that come into that period of time. Only the 144,000, the first fruit, are going to be a part of that. All other believers, all others that have overcome will come into eternity after the white throne judgment, after Satan is destroyed and the beast and the false prophet, after all wickedness is destroyed. You're not going to have any wickedness whatsoever. Everyone that believes, everyone that loves Yahweh will be in the kingdom for eternity. Revelation chapter 22. And he showed of light, bright and crystal, proceeding out of the throne of Yahweh and of the Lamb. In the middle of the street, and on the side of the river, and on that was the tree of life, bearing 12 manner of fruit, yielding its fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nation. And there shall be no curse anymore. And the throne of God and the Lamb shall be in it. And his servants shall serve him. And they shall see his face, and his name shall be on their forehead. And there shall be night no more. And they need no light of lamp, neither light of the sun, for Yahweh Elohim shall give them light. And they shall reign forever and ever. Time out of mind. And he said to me, these words are faithful and true. Yahweh, the Elohim of spirits and of the prophets, sent his angel to show to his servant the things which must shortly come to pass. And behold, I come quickly. Blessed is he that keeps the words of the prophecy of this book. And I, John, am he that heard and saw these things. And when I heard and saw, I fell down to worship before the feet of the angel that showed me these things. And he said to me, see that you do it not. I am a fellow servant with you and with your brethren the prophets, and with them that keep the words of this book. Worship Yahweh. We have to worship Yahweh, brother. We have to believe. We have to trust. We have to overcome this world and this life. In verse 10, and he said to me, seal not up the words of the prophecy of this book, for the time is at hand. He that is unrighteous, let him do unrighteousness still. He that is filthy, let him be made filthy still. He that is righteous, let him do righteousness still. And he that is holy, let him be made holy still. Behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me, to render to each man according to his work, to what his work is. I am the Alpha and the Tau, the first and the last, the beginning and the end. Blessed are they that do his commandments, and they that they might have right to the tree of life, and may enter in by the gates into the city. Outside are the dogs and the sorcerers and the fornicators and the murderers and the idolaters and everyone who comes and makes a lie, because they have been destroyed. They're going to be outside. They have no part in the kingdom of Yahweh for eternity. I, Yahshua, have sent my angel, my messenger, to testify to you these things for the assembly. See, there's an order. There's a group. There's a body, government. I am the root and the offspring of David, the bright and the morning star, and the spirit and the bride. And he that hears, let him say, come. And he that is thirsty, let him come. He that will, let him take water of life freely. And that life, that water of life is poured out on this day, on that last great day, eternity. The water of life is given to all those who have entered into the kingdom of Yahweh for eternity. May Almighty Yahweh bless each one of you as you give him your humble devotion and your life. I'm going to ask and see if I can get Brother Quincy to give the closing prayer. Can you, if you all please rise at this time, can I get you to close with a word of prayer, Elder Quincy?
Hear anything yet.
No, I don't have them muted. They're unmuted.
Are you hearing me?
I can hear you now.
Okay. Yeah, let's see. Heavenly Father Yahweh, as we stand in your presence on this, the last great day, we give you thanks. And we give you praise for allowing us to be here on this day. We are so glad, Father Yahweh, that we can receive these words today. The words of life, the implanted word that is able to save our souls. And that we can be united with brethren in other parts of the world. It is a great joy, Father Yahweh, and a great blessing. And we pray that these words that we have heard will not fall on deaf ears, but that they will truly be implanted into our hearts and our minds, and that we will practice them in our lives as we seek to enter in to that glorious and eternal kingdom, the kingdom of Yahweh, which will come to this earth. So bless us, Father, as we continue in this day. And may you truly bestow a great blessing upon all your people, as we have sought to keep this feast holy, as you have commanded us to do. Be with us until the sun sets, as we give you thanks and praise, in Yahshua's name. Yeah.
Hallelujah.
Conference muted.
Our final song before the benediction, we'll sing song number 33, Holy Love. That is song number 33.